This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here he is, Jason Quick, our Blazers insider. Thoughts and prayers to the Blazers.
That's a good way to put it.
Write the eulogy. Go. Well,
in all honesty, like, how bad is it right now?
It's terrible.
Now, I'm asking how bad. I want just a fa- I know
I can answer
early.
That.
You zip it. I want to hear from JC Babes.
It's pretty bad. I mean, God, they've lost 6 out of 7 this month. 4 out of their 5 home games. They're losing to teams that have their star players out. So I don't, you know, the injury excuse for the Blazers doesn't really fly. And really all they're missing right now is Zach Collins. And it's just mind-boggling to think that you lose a guy like Zach Collins and it has derailed this whole season. And I think it's really kind of brought into focus that maybe this team wasn't as deep as Neil Olshey and Terry Stotts thought. Because, you know, Tolliver and Hezonja have proven that they are not up to the task to be a backup power forward. And we're at the point now where 12 games in, they've had 4 different power forward starters, and now they're relying on a 19-year-old rookie who was thought to be a project, and now he's your starting power forward. So that's how dire it's become.
So what signs can you point to for hope of a turnaround?
Well, CJ McCollum is bound to play better. I mean, we went through this last year where he was just brutal not very good. For the first couple months of the season, and eventually he kind of clicked into gear, and that helped the team. And this has not been a good start for CJ. 31% from 3, 40% from the field overall, and he's got a ton of turnovers. So you have to figure, though, that he's going to play better. We've seen him play better. And I think that'll take some pressure off Dame. Last night, you know, Toronto just totally disrespected the rest of the Blazers lineup and aimed to take Dame out of the offense, and it worked. Dame had only 9 points, and it was really his first bad game of the season. So I think that's some hope. Rodney Hood is now back. That really messed them up on top of the Collins thing when Hood missed 2.5 games dealing with a back issue. Rodney Hood's been very good this year. I think only 3 guys have played well for the Blazers this year. It's Lillard, Simons, and Hood. Everyone else has been either average or below average from even their own expectations. So that's what is so concerning, is that it's widespread. There's a lot of players underperforming. As a whole, their defense is brutal. And, you know, the thing that's just burned into my mind is the Kings game earlier this week, where they cut the lead to 5 in the fourth, and good teams in that scenario really buckle down and get the stops and then come out with a win. Philadelphia did it earlier the week against Cleveland. They were being outplayed, but they got the defensive stops and won. But what does Sacramento do? Sacramento doesn't even have its 2 best players, Fox, the point guard, and Bagley, the big guy. Sacramento breaks them down easily, like 3 possessions in a row in the fourth, and the game's over. They can't get defensive stops. And last night you saw it against Toronto. You know, fourth quarter, what was a tight game is now spiraling downhill, and they get a stop, but Toronto gets an offensive rebound. They stop them again, they get another offensive rebound, and then finally Siakam hits the jumper, and the next thing you know, people are flooding the X's with 4 minutes left in the game. It's been a long time since I can remember Blazer fans flooding the exits with 4 minutes left in a game, but they've seen this over and over this year in the 5 games at home. They're getting outworked, out hustled, and a lot of times they're just shorter than the other teams, and they're getting beat to rebounds, and it's just really, really deflating.
Yeah, and then Van Vliet got whatever he wanted in the middle of the lane, and Toronto shot almost as well, I think 44 to 45%. They shot almost as well from the three-point line than they did just, you know, an uncontested layup line.
Yeah. The number one concern for me is the defense. They're giving up a lot of open threes. It's been better than it was very early in the season. And I asked Stotts this last night, you know, what's the number one thing you want to see shored up? And he said, our defense at the point of attack. We have to stop the penetration and stop the one-on-one guys getting by us. So you read a little deeper into that, that's Dame and CJ need to do a better job of keeping their guys in front of them.
Okay, so this is Jason Quick, Blazers Insider. Hezonja, what is up with that dude? Because he sucks.
Yeah, we're finding out why Orlando bailed on him and why New York bailed on him. And, you know, how was this guy ever a top five pick? You look at him, he has the tools. He's 6'9". He's pretty skilled with the ball. He's fast. But, I mean, he can't hit a shot. He gets lost on defense at times. Just really silly, silly turnovers. He's going down the road of Tolliver, where, you know, last night finally Stotts just said, I'm not playing Tolliver, and he only played Hezonja 14 minutes. I think it's going down that road where he might be getting his minutes kind of cut more and more until he's not playing. But you know, they're in a position right now, though, where they almost have to play him just because they don't have enough bodies. So, you know, the interesting thing right now is how good or what Nasir Little can do. He's actually been a little bit exciting. The rookie, he's been very active. He goes around and tries to get offensive rebounds. He's always around the rim. He cuts to the rim. He had a really nice block last night. And Stotts, who hardly ever compliments players, was effusive in his praise of Nasir last night. So it looks like he's going to be the starter heading into Saturday's game at San Antonio, and it's his job to lose. So that's kind of exciting when you pair him with Simons. You think of Collins, you know, down the road, but this was a season where Portland thought they were going to contend for a title. They openly talked about it, and they have the most expensive roster in the NBA, but they're 4-8, and it's a bad 4-8. I mean, 1-4 at home, and they've lost to teams that are depleted. I mean, Golden State, Sacramento. Last night, Toronto was playing without Lowry, Ibaka, and OG, their defensive stopper. So it's hard right now. I think Blazer fans have a reason to be frustrated. Go ahead.
You said this is the most expensive roster in the league, the Blazers?
I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it is.
Oh, my God. Well, the people that...
You should have seen the look on everyone's face when you said that in the studio.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we all just kind of like... Yeah.
And I know they had to make moves in the offseason. I mean, there was a lot of shuffling that needed to be done with contracts and things. So, at the same time, the people who said... Because I think Jason, you and I, and maybe even Suk, I think we all agreed that I kind of like the moves. I thought they were deeper. Yeah. I thought they were more balanced, at least on paper. It is just not looking like that at all.
Hey,
now,
and
some
hey,
of that.
Hey, real quick, second most expensive roster.
Who's the most?
Oh, is it? I'm sorry.
Houston.
Oh.
So let's cut him some slack here. Right?
Yeah, sorry.
But it's looking like those people that initially said, what are they doing, were right. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah. And, you know, I need to take complete ownership. I fell for this hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. I did too,
I
thought Whiteside was better than he is. And I don't think Whiteside's been awful, but he certainly hasn't been the defensive stopper or the defensive impact player that I envisioned or that I thought he was. He can block a shot here and there, but he's not intimidating shots. He's not deterring guys when they get in the lane, and he's just not mobile. But I was as guilty as anyone for buying into this team. I still think they're better than they're showing. I think Bazemore is a better shooter than he's shown. We've talked about CJ. He's definitely a better player than he's been showing. But it's when you get into that second layer, the Hazonias, the Tollivers, Le Bissier, he's been okay, but again, you don't want to play him a ton of minutes. It's looking thin right now. And, you know, I don't think the return of Pau Gasol is going to rescue this team. I think he's a 12 to 15 minutes at most type guy. I mean, he's 39. So.
Well, I agree with you on Whiteside.
They're going to have to make a move.
Yeah, they're going to have. Well, that's another question.
If they have plans to make the playoffs, they have to make a move. And it's probably going to have to be before the February trading deadline. It's probably going to have to be.
Yeah.
Sometime in December. But, you know, if they get too far into this, dig themselves too deep a hole, they might play, you know, the long route and try to just, I don't want to say tank, but, you know, get a pick and be like Golden yep. State, where you know you're going to be pretty well set up the next year, and why not just add another pick to that?
See, I love what you just said there. That's where I was going to go, is that I think that they're not – I already believe that they should be sellers, not buyers, when it comes to trades. And punt on this. There's only two teams worse in the West. I mean, this is not – and Nurkic and Collins are not coming back. And even if Nurkic does come back, it's going to take him a lot of time to get ready. So you can't count – or to get back to 100%.
Yeah.
So I just don't think you can count on either of those guys. If you take them out of it, realistically, this team is just not very good. And yes, maybe they're better than they're playing, but – say they get the 7 seed. Say it goes so great from here that they get the 5 seed. So freaking what? Right? Like, punt.
Yeah. Well,
get some picks. Or a pick.
Yeah. It depends how you're playing down the road. I mean, you know, Utah was in the same boat last year where they had a tough road schedule and they were under 500 until mid-January and they ended up winning 50 games. But I see what you're saying. But – I don't know. It's hard for me, Isaac, because it's hard for me to doubt Damian Lillard. And I know that sounds like just like a total honk, but I've watched this guy up close for 8 years now. And the way that he wills his team when it's in a bad spot, there are times when this team had no business making the playoffs, and he just carried them. And it's just hard for me to totally count this team out right now. And I know people hate hearing, well, it's early and they need time to gel. And, you know, I'm sick of hearing that as well, but.
Well, I don't think you're doubting him. I don't think any, well, first of all, Lillard's playing great and they're 4-8. So I don't think it's doubting him. I think this league, unfortunately, is set up so that the worse you are, the better you can be. And if you see an opportunity for that, even if you have Lillard's not going anywhere. He'll be here next year. So will CJ. And so will a healthy Nurkic. I think it makes sense to look at that. Maybe not yet. We'll see how this goes. But I don't know, man. I mean,
if we really want to talk long term, I mean, Anfernee Simons might be the big he might be the future shooting guard. And, you know, there you can make an argument that he's giving CJ a run for his money right now. Is CJ the way you get better long term?
CJ trade. Ooh, interesting. I'd listen to that.
But we know how much Neil Olshay loves CJ, so it's hard to break up that continuity of Dame and CJ, but it's becoming interesting. That's what I keep thinking as I watch Anthony play more and more. He's finally gained the confidence of Stotts, and Stotts is playing him upwards around 30 minutes a game. I just keep going, man, this kid is good. He's fun to watch. How much better is he going to be at the end of this year? Is he going to be better than CJ? I know that. I mean, that's almost blasphemous to say, but I think he's that good.
That's
I really
fun.
Do.
Okay, let me ask you about Whiteside. I'm sorry to cut you off, Jason. Yeah. We kind of got to get moving. I just want one more question about Whiteside. And a lot of people are blowing us up now because, you know, the things like, hey, if you fell for the Whiteside thing, you should have done more homework. He's the mediocrity that they deserve. And that's – now, see, that is a little unfair because I think that I liked the idea of Whiteside – if there's a healthy Nurkic and Collins, I don't like the idea of Whiteside being your main big, and you're seeing that now. And that is he. You can stomach him when he's coming off the bench, and maybe he can give you a spark, but not as the main dude because his numbers are so hollow. He's another one of these NBA guys who just has a low basketball IQ. He doesn't move. He doesn't listen. He thinks he's great because he gets 20 and 10 when they lose by 15. And those guys are so frustrating. This league is littered with guys like that. The question I want to ask you about him, though, is you wrote a really good article about Damian Lillard's approach to Whiteside. Can you summarize, because Lillard sees it too, he just can't say it quite like we can.
Yeah.
What is Lillard's approach to handling Whiteside's habits?
He's being very patient with him, but he's trying to get him to explain or get him to understand that it's not about your points and rebounds. It's how you're impacting the game. You need to set better screens so we can get better shots. You need to contest shots. And even if you don't block the shot, if you affect it and miss it, then that's helping the team. And he needs to, he's trying to implore upon him the team concept and making other players better and doing little things that don't show up on the stat sheet, that your value isn't always measured by points and rebounds. Yes, it helps if you score. It helps if you get those rebounds, but you have to do the other things as well. And it's a process because Hassan's 30 years old. He's got a ton of bad habits. And so that's why Lillard said that he has to be patient because it takes time to break habits. He went through the same process with Jusuf Nurkić, but Jusuf was 22, 23 years old when he got him, and he didn't have as many kind of built-in habits. He was able to shape him and coach him and mentor him into the player he is now because he was so young and impressionable. Hassan is a established veteran with all these habits, and it's going to take a while to break. And I thought it was interesting last night when I was talking to CJ in the locker room, and he said one of the things he wants to do or that he will do on this upcoming six-game trip is have a conversation with Whiteside. And like a dummy, I didn't follow up with him and say, well, what exactly are you going to talk about? Because it was in the middle of a long kind of sentence that he was talking, and I got caught up in another area he was going, but I wish I would have said, well, what are you going to talk to Whiteside about? What exactly do you want to kind of iron out on the road? But it's clear that both Dame and CJ feel like they need to help coach him and mold him into the Blazers system. So that's going to be an interesting thing to kind of keep an eye on.
Good stuff. I love it. Blazers insider Jason Quick will be with us every Thursday. Is today Thursday?
Today is Thursday.
Yeah.
At 3:30. For some hot Blazer talk. And it's always more fun when they suck because then it's more controversial. Yeah. Everybody's got a hot take.
Hey, how are you feeling about the Steeler game tonight?
Big Zook?
I've been riding Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is criminally underrated. I think everyone wrote them off. Fitzpatrick has been an MVP-type player since he's coming over. They've got one of the best defensive lines. Mm-hmm. And Rudolph, they're taking the Big Ben approach, and that's just run the ball, play behind a good offensive line. Pittsburgh, to me, is still a serious playoff team, so I actually really like what Pittsburgh's been doing the last couple weeks.
They're underdogs tonight.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I know.
Yeah. To Cleveland.
Yeah. And I don't know why.
Last week, the Bills were underdogs to Cleveland, and Cleveland won.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
This is a case of weeks ago, everyone made up their mind that Cleveland was supposed to be good and Pittsburgh was supposed to be bad. Pittsburgh is a better football team, although the Thursday night thing, that can come into play, but I shall be placing a wager on my Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, you know I'm a big Steeler, huh?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's why I was giving you my Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, are you going to bet on them? Are you on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app?
I am. I haven't won.
Yeah, I love that. Isn't that fun?
It's awesome. It's the best.
It scares me a little bit when you're on the road Thursday night, but I love when I can get the better team getting points, I think the Browns are favored by 3, 3.5. I'll take that all day.
Yeah. You know what sucks, though, is that I don't like being on the road with the Blazers, and I can't place a bet from the road.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you need a runner. I know. I get that over in the Washington. I'll be sitting at home, and I'm like, I need to wager. So I can't.
That sucks.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to crack an IPA and get fired up for this game.
Let's do it. All right. See ya. I mean, later. You can do it. I'm not going to do it, but...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.